This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the conversation pre-mortem to reduce tension before a high-stakes team discussion. Diffuse team tension before it starts with one structured preparation tool. In short, high-stakes team discussions fail not because people lack good intentions, but because no one planned for the tension that was always going to arrive, the conversation pre-mortem gives you a method to map what could go wrong before it does. Name the flashpoints, the likely objections, and the emotional triggers before the discussion starts. Choose the right preparation framework for the specific kind of tension you face. Enter the room with a plan, not just a hope. Definition: the conversation pre-mortem tension technique is a structured pre-conversation exercise where you identify the worst-case scenarios, emotional flashpoints, and likely objections before a high-stakes team discussion begins, then build a concrete response plan for each one, reducing anxiety and reactive behavior. I've sat in enough charged rooms to know exactly how a team discussion can turn. Someone arrives carrying a grievance nobody addressed 3 months ago. Another person takes a perfectly reasonable question as a personal attack. A third shuts down entirely. The meeting dissolves into damage control, and whatever the team needed to resolve that day is buried under the rubble. What I really saw was anyone who had genuinely prepared for the tension. They prepared their content. They built their slides. They thought hard about what they wanted to say, but they did not prepare for what was actually going to happen in the room. The conversation pre-mortem tension technique changes that. I introduced this concept in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, and in the years since, it has become the preparation tool I recommend most often to people facing the conversations they dread. What follows are five frameworks you can apply, starting with the pre-mortem itself, to reduce tension before a high-stakes team discussion even begins. What the conversation pre-mortem actually does for team tension. The name comes from project management. A project post-mortem examines what went wrong after the fact. A pre-mortem asks what could go wrong, and what do we do about it now? In the context of team discussions, the conversation pre-mortem tension technique works by shifting your brain from vague dread to specific planning. Anticipatory anxiety, the kind that keeps you awake the night before a difficult meeting, thrives in ambiguity. It feeds on what if everything falls apart. The pre-mortem collapses that ambiguity by forcing you to name the specific things that could go wrong, and then decide, calmly and in advance, how you will handle each one. Here is the thing about naming a fear: it shrinks. Not because the fear was irrational, but because a named threat can be planned for. A vague one cannot. As I write in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, confidence is not a magical feeling that descends upon you. It is the direct result of strategic preparation. The pre-mortem is that strategic preparation made concrete. Framework 1. The conversation pre-mortem. What it is: a structured pre-conversation exercise where you map worst-case scenarios, assess how likely each one is, and build a specific response plan for each. What it is designed for: reducing anticipatory anxiety before high-stakes team discussions where tension is expected, but unpredictable. How it works. Number 1. List what could go wrong. Write it all down without filtering. Who might get defensive? What topic is likely to derail the conversation? Whose past behavior suggests they will escalate? Name each scenario plainly. Number 2. Rate the likelihood. For each scenario, ask, is this likely, possible, or unlikely? This step is critical. Most of what we fear falls into the possible, but not likely category, and seeing that in writing calms the nervous system considerably. Number 3. Create a response plan. For each likely or possible scenario, write one or two sentences you will say if it occurs. You do not need a perfect script. You need enough of a plan that the moment does not catch you blind. Number 4. Identify your own triggers. Ask yourself honestly what might make me reactive in this conversation. Where is my patience thinnest? Knowing this in advance gives you a chance to regulate before the moment arrives. Number 5. Set your intention. Decide, before you walk in, what you want the team to leave with. Not just what you want to say, but what you want them to feel and do afterward. When to use it. Before any team discussion where the stakes are high and the emotional temperature is already elevated. When not to use it. If the conversation is routine and the team has a strong track record of productive disagreement, this level of preparation may be unnecessary. Quick example. A team lead is about to tell her team that a project they invested months in is being cancelled. She runs a pre-mortem the night before. She identifies that two specific people are likely to feel blindsided and angry. She decides she will acknowledge their effort directly and early before explaining the decision. She also identifies that she herself tends to get defensive when her judgment is questioned, so she prepares to pause and breathe before responding to pushback. She enters the meeting ready, not just hopeful. Eamon's note: this is the tool I reach for first. Not because the others are less valuable, but because nothing reduces tension faster than the knowledge that you have already thought through the worst of it. Framework 2. The Strong Method Pre-Conversation Ritual. What it is: a six-step pre-conversation ritual I outline in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time that prepares you mentally and emotionally before you walk into a charged room. What it is designed for: managing the physical and psychological effects of tension in the minutes before a high-stakes discussion begins. How it works: Number 1. State your intention. In one sentence, name what you want this conversation to accomplish. Write it down. This anchors you when the room gets difficult. Number 2. Take a breath. Literally, a slow, deliberate breath before you enter shifts your body from a threat response towards a state where clear thinking is possible. Number 3. Respect all perspectives. Remind yourself that the people in that room have reasons for their positions, even if those reasons frustrate you. This is not about agreeing with them. It is about entering with curiosity rather than resistance. Number 4. Offer specific examples. Prepare one or two concrete examples that support your key points. Vague arguments escalate tension. Specific ones reduce it. Number 5. Navigate to solutions. Decide in advance that your role is to help the team move forward, not to win a point. This shift in orientation changes how you listen and respond. Number 6. Gain commitment to action. Know what a successful close looks like. What specific agreement or next step would signal that the conversation worked? When to use it: in the 10 to 15 minutes before a high-stakes team meeting, particularly when you are the one leading or facilitating. When not to use it: if you are a participant rather than a leader, a lighter preparation may be more appropriate. The strong method works best when you carry some responsibility for the outcome. Quick example: a manager about to lead a team discussion about a missed deadline uses the strong ritual during the walk from her desk to the meeting room. By the time she sits down, she has her intention clear, her breathing steady, and two specific examples ready. The meeting still has friction, but she moves to it without losing ground. Eamon's note: the breath step sounds trivial. It is not. Every person I know who handles tension well has some version of this in their practice. If you want to see how this ritual fits into a broader system for high-stakes preparation, the master method outlined here pairs well with it. Framework 3. The master method. What it is: a six-step framework from Chapter 14 of Say It Right Every Time for preparing and executing the high-stakes conversations, including team discussions, where tension is unavoidable. What it is designed for: conversations where the stakes are high enough that going in underprepared carries a real cost to relationships, decisions, or trust. How it works: Number 1. Mental preparation. Use negative visualization. Imagine the conversation going badly, then plan your response. This is the pre-mortem applied specifically to your own mental state. Number 2. Anticipate objections. List every objection the team is likely to raise. Prepare a clear, calm response for each one. This is where you do the bulk of your tension reduction work. Number 3. Structure your key points. Limit yourself to 3 core points. More than 3, and the conversation loses shape. When a discussion loses shape under pressure, tension fills the gap. Number 4. Time the conversation. Choose when to have this discussion deliberately. A team that is already overloaded or just received difficult news is not ready for another charged conversation. Timing reduces or amplifies tension before a word is spoken. Number 5. Engage with full presence. When the moment comes, put everything else down. No half attention. No phone on the table, no one eye on the clock. Presence is the most underrated tension reducer there is. Number 6. Reflect afterward. After the conversation, give yourself 10 minutes to assess what worked, what did not, and what you would do differently. This builds the competence that reduces tension next time. When to use it: before any conversation with real consequences, such as a restructuring announcement, a performance discussion, or a cross-team conflict resolution. When not to use it: In fast-moving situations where preparation time is short, if you have 10 minutes, use the strong ritual instead. The master method rewards more preparation time. Quick example. A department head needs to tell two teams with a history of friction that they are being merged. He runs the full master preparation the night before. He anticipates 6 likely objections and has a response ready for each. The meeting is hard, but because he is prepared, he does not escalate when pushed, and the team leaves with a clearer sense of direction than anyone expected. Eamon's note. There are conversations so important that going in without this level of preparation is a form of disrespect to the people in the room. The master method is what I use when I cannot afford to get it wrong. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Framework 4. The Empathy Bridge. What it is. A technique for acknowledging the emotional state of the people you are about to have a difficult conversation with before the conversation starts. You build a bridge between where they are emotionally and where the conversation needs to go. What it is designed for. Situations where you know specific team members are likely to arrive at the discussion already defensive, hurt, or frustrated. How it works. Number 1. Identify the emotional state of each key person. Before the meeting, think through what each person is likely feeling and why. This is not guessing. It is informed observation based on recent interactions, known history, and context. Number 2. Name it early, privately if possible. If you can speak with a team member before the group discussion, a brief acknowledgement. I know this has been a frustrating few weeks for you. Does significant work. It signals that you see them. Number 3. Open the group conversation with acknowledgement. In the room, name the emotional reality without dramatizing it. I know some of you have concerns about how this decision was made, and I want to make space for that. This one sentence can diffuse a room. Number 4. Ask before you explain. Resist the urge to lead with your position. Ask the team what their concerns are first. People who feel hurt are far less likely to escalate. When to use it. When the tension in an upcoming discussion is rooted in feeling unseen, unheard, or disrespected. When not to use it. When the tension is purely practical, such as a disagreement about strategy or resources, and there is no significant emotional charge underneath it. Quick example. Before a budget review meeting, where two team leads have been in conflict for months, the director takes 5 minutes to speak with each of them separately. She does not solve anything. She just acknowledges that the situation has been difficult. Both leads arrive at the meeting slightly less ready to fight. That small shift is enough. Eamon's note. People who feel powerless often escalate. People who feel heard really do. The empathy bridge gives people something before the conversation starts, and that changes everything that follows. Learn more about how this works. Understanding why this technique works at a neurological level is worth a moment of your time. When tension spikes and someone feels threatened, the brain's threat detection system can override rational thinking entirely. You can read about that process in detail in this article on what an amygdala hijack is and how it escalates workplace tension. The empathy bridge, used before the discussion begins, is one of the most effective ways to prevent a hijack from happening. Framework 5. The core grounding method. What it is. A framework for staying grounded during a tense conversation when you feel yourself beginning to react rather than respond. What it is designed for. The moment inside a high-stakes team discussion when the tension spikes and you feel your clarity starting to slip. How it works. Number 1. Clarify what is actually happening. When tension rises, step back mentally. Ask what is actually being said here versus what am I reacting to. These are often different things. Number 2. On your part. In any escalating team conversation, there's almost always something you contributed to the friction. Naming it, even briefly, diffuses a significant amount of tension. Number 3. Redirect to the issue. Pull the conversation back to the practical question. What do we actually need to decide today? Is a powerful reset when emotions are running high. Number 4. Express what you need. If you're near your limit, say so plainly. I need a moment before I respond to that is a sign of strength, not weakness. When to use it. During a tense discussion, when you feel yourself moving toward reactivity and need to stabilize quickly, when not to use it. As a substitute for preparation, the core method handles tension in the moment. It is not a replacement for the pre-mortem or master preparation that should happen before the meeting. For a full treatment of this framework, see how to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation. Quick example. A team discussion about a failed product launch starts to tip into blame. One member feels personally attacked. Instead of responding defensively, she uses core. She clarifies what was actually said, acknowledges the team's collective frustration, redirects to the question of what to do next, and states she needs a moment before she addresses the criticism directly. The temperature drops. Eamon's note. This framework is most useful when you have already done your pre-mortem preparation. Without that groundwork, core alone asks a lot of you in a moment of high stress. Choosing the right framework for your situation. Not every high-stakes team discussion needs every framework. Here is how to match the tool to the tension. Situation best framework. You have 24 plus hours to prepare conversation pre-mortem plus master method. You have 15 minutes before the meeting strong pre-conversation ritual. Key team members are emotionally defensive empathy bridge before plus during the meeting. You feel yourself reacting mid-conversation core grounding method. The stakes involve trust and relationship prepare master plus empathy bridge combined. The pre-mortem is almost always your starting point. It generates the information that other frameworks need. Once you've mapped what could go wrong and who's likely to be triggered, you know whether to run the full master preparation or simply do the strong ritual in the corridor outside the meeting room. Here is a simple decision path. If you have real preparation time and the stakes are genuinely high, combine the pre-mortem with the master method. If the conversation is soon and you know the emotional temperature is elevated, lead with the empathy bridge. If you're in the room and the conversation is turning, reach for core. These frameworks are designed to work together, not to replace each other. For a broader look at how this applies to team preparation, see how to use the conversation pre-mortem to prepare your team for high-stakes moments. And if the high-stakes discussion involves giving difficult feedback, this article on using the conversation pre-mortem before a feedback meeting applies the same principles in a specific context. Where preparation goes wrong. Three traps to avoid. Even with good frameworks, people make consistent errors in preparation. Here are the three I see most often. The mistake. Preparing your content instead of preparing for the conversation. Why it happens. We default to what feels productive, which usually means building slides or rehearsing our points. But content preparation leaves the emotional terrain completely unmapped. What to do instead? Run the pre-mortem first. Let it tell you what the conversation is actually going to require from you. The mistake. Preparing alone when the tension involves a group. Why it happens. We think of preparation as a private activity. But in team discussions, multiple people arrive with different assumptions, fears, and histories. What to do instead? If you lead the team, run a brief version of the pre-mortem with them. Ask each person what they are most concerned about. Naming it together reduces tension before anyone sits down. The mistake. Confusing preparation with rehearsal. Why it happens. Over-rehearsing a difficult conversation makes you rigid. When the discussion goes somewhere unexpected, a rehearsed speaker sounds scripted and the room notices. What to do instead? Prepare your intentions and your responses to likely flashpoints. Leave room for the conversation to breathe. The goal is readiness, not performance. You can also improve the structure of the meeting itself to reduce tension before it builds. Running productive meetings that don't waste time removes the logistical frustrations that often act as an accelerant in already charged discussions. Building fluency with these frameworks over time. Here is the truth of it. You will not use these frameworks perfectly the first time. That is not the goal. The goal is to use them consistently enough that they become instinct. Start with the pre-mortem. Use it before your next difficult conversation, even a small one. Write three things that could go wrong. Write one response for each. That is enough. Do this for four or five conversations, and you will begin to see how much of the tension you dreaded was manageable once you named it. Add the strong ritual next. 10 minutes before your next charged meeting, go through the six steps. You do not need a quiet room. You need a few minutes and a piece of paper. Over time, the core method will start to feel natural in the moment. That is when you know the frameworks have become part of how you think, not just tools you reach for consciously. The confidence competence loop I describe in Say It Right Every Time applies here directly. Small wins build competence, Competence builds confidence, and confidence drives you to practice more. Each conversation you prepare for well makes the next one slightly less daunting. Frequently asked questions. What is conversation premortem tension reduction? The conversation premortem tension reduction technique involves mapping potential flashpoints, emotional triggers, and likely objections before a high-stakes team discussion begins. By naming worst-case scenarios in advance, you reduce anticipatory anxiety and enter the room with a clear, grounded plan. How do you use a conversation premortem before a team meeting? Before the meeting, write down what could go wrong, who is likely to react strongly and why, and what you will say if each scenario occurs. Give this 10 to 15 minutes of focused thought. Entering with that plan in hand reduces reactive tension significantly. When should you use the conversation premortem at work? Use it before any team discussion where the stakes are high, emotions are likely to run hot, or important decisions hang in the balance. It is especially effective before performance conversations, restructuring announcements, and cross-team conflict resolution sessions. What is the difference between anticipatory anxiety and performance anxiety in high-stakes conversations? Anticipatory anxiety is the dread you feel before a difficult conversation begins, while performance anxiety kicks in during the conversation itself. The conversation premortem targets anticipatory anxiety directly by turning vague fear into a concrete plan, making performance anxiety easier to manage. How does the master method help reduce tension in team discussions? The master method structures your preparation across 6 steps. Mental preparation, anticipating objections, structuring key points, timing the conversation, engaging fully, and reflecting afterward. Each step removes a source of uncertainty that feeds tension before and during a high-stakes discussion. Can the conversation premortem be used in group settings? Yes. When a team lead runs a premortem with the whole team before a charged discussion, it normalizes the idea that tension is expected and manageable. Each person maps their own potential reactions, which builds collective psychological safety before anyone speaks. The most important thing I can tell you is this tension in a high-stakes team discussion is not a sign that the conversation is going wrong. It is a sign that the conversation matters. Using the conversation premortem tension technique and the frameworks that support it does not remove that tension. It gives you the structure to work with it rather than against it. Prepare well, enter clear, and trust that you have done the groundwork. That is how you earn the outcome the conversation deserves. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.